Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to purpose in your heart tonight to get something. I want you to really purpose that I'm not going to leave here the same way that I came in. I'm going to take something from this message. I'm realizing more and more that what he's having me minister right now, especially right now in these last few services, these last few messages, I tell you what, it's taken a long time to get to the place that I can speak this way. It's taken a long time. I thank God. I thank God for where he's brought me and the understanding that I have. As I look back and I see the years when I was growing up in a denominational church, and like so many people, I just went there really because I was supposed to. My parents made me. Took me there week after week. And like so many people that end up in a church, whatever the denomination, whatever the flavor, they go there week after week, sit in those pews. I thank God they're there. I thank God that they've made that much of a decision. But what I find in my own life as I look back and I see how I was in those that time period, I was age-wise 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. I was getting real few in those services. 20 years old, I wasn't there at all. I was gone. So it was usually pretty much in those first teenage years I was in there. And this is how I felt. I'd go in those church services. I'd sit there. I'd kind of listen to what the guy was saying. As I got a little bit older, and I started doing things that I knew was wrong. How did you know it was wrong, Mark? Well, for one, I knew it was wrong because my parents taught me. As I've said a few different times here recently, they put an artificial conscience in me. They told me what was right. They told me what was wrong. They punished me when I did the wrong things. So I had a conscience, an artificial one, that they instilled within me. Now, I don't know, as I look back, and this is the saddest thing, I don't know if I was born again. And you think about that. How can you go to a church week after week the way I did and not know if you're born again? I did. I sure did. And that, you know, I wanted to please God. I sure did. I wanted to please God. And when I did wrong things and I knew that it displeased him, I felt bad. Not bad enough to stop, but I still felt bad. And I'd go sometimes, as sad as it may sound, on Sunday mornings, especially later on as I grew in my teens, staggering into the church on Sunday morning. I actually did. There were times that I would walk down the aisle and I would have a little stagger because I was still drunk from the night before. And I felt bad at times. And the church that I went to, I'm not going to name denominations, but the church I went to, they had something that they said on a regular basis. Really didn't make a lot of sense as I look back now, but you could rededicate your life. Anybody ever heard that terminology? Just raise your hand if you have. Rededicating your life. I rededicated my life so many times. Anytime I went out and did all kind of bad stuff the night before, I was up there rededicating the next week because I felt so stinking guilty. I felt terrible. I knew I was wrong. Now, whether or not that was from a new nature or whether or not that was just from that artificial conscience, I honestly cannot tell you. But I know this. I could sit there and hear what the person said, recognize in my life that I'm missing it, felt that conviction, whatever you want to call it, condemnation at times, and I was down there in the front rededicating my life. And that was an endless cycle for me, week after week. Now, I want you to understand something. Because you go to this church, you know that there's more. But most people don't. Most people find themselves in that same endless cycle of feeling bad and not knowing how to be free from what they're doing, that hold that it has on them. So they just circle that wagon one more time. Next week I'll be right back here repenting again, rededicating my life. And out they go. That's not what God intended. And you know that because you go here. You know that is not what God intended. What we need to be able to do, and I say we because it's not just going to be the preachers doing this. It's going to be you in the seats doing this as well. Sharing with people how they can be free from that kind of a lifestyle. You should be able to do this. You should be able to share with someone how they too can be free. Have you ever thought about this? When you got born again, I think it's just so interesting. Tonight we're going to talk about two kinds of wisdom. When you got born again, I want you to think about this. And this is truly the wisdom of God. When you got born again, did you come into a complete understanding of who you are as a born-again child of God? No. You had no idea. Maybe you stood up in a service. Maybe you came forward and someone led you in the prayer of salvation. No matter what it was, you got saved one day. And you were just like a strapping young baby in the Lord. And just like any other baby, you have to develop and grow, and there's learning. There's a process. When you were first born again, you didn't understand all of this. And that is why, and I want you to grab hold of this because this will help you so much when you lead somebody to the Lord. That is why He gave us praying in tongues. The moment someone gets born again, the very next breath, you should be leading them and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and teaching them how to pray in tongues. Just show them how to pray in tongues. Here, just do this. You don't have to know all of the principles of the word. Just tell them to pray in tongues. It's a fail-safe. Anybody can do it. That is the wisdom of God. You see, what happened was that person at that moment was born again, and instantly everything was placed right there within that person. They were born a brand new creation. And we're going to find out tonight they were born again righteous, sanctified, redeemed. All of that at one time. And here they are just kind of looking around. They got no idea what happened. It's like a train hit them all of a sudden. Hey, what happened? Well, my friend, you were born again. Well, what does that mean? Just think about the whole process. That is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says something completely different. Oh, if you want to approach God, you got to clean yourself up. That was the cycle that I found myself in for years. I was trying to clean myself up. I got to stop that sinning. I got to stop doing that. I got to get clean. See, that's the wisdom of man. Man says you have to do this and this and this, and then you'll be good enough for God. God says, no, that's not it at all. God says, you come to me. You receive what my son's done for you, and you're born again. And instantly, instantly you become this person in your spirit. You become righteous. You become holy, sanctified. You are redeemed instantly. But here's what happens. There has to be a developing. There has to be a maturing, a growing up in the understanding of who you are. So here, take this. Pray in tongues. But I don't understand what I'm saying. You don't have to understand anything. That's genius. Think about it. It is literally genius. That he made us, when we were born again, in the image of Christ, he made us. We were born that way. And he said, here, you're going to need the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach you. So here, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so how do I do it? Well, the same way you got saved, you just receive his presence. Okay, Holy Ghost, I receive you. Instantly, he fills the person up with himself. It's as simple as that. You know, when you lead somebody to Jesus, and it's time for you to lead them in the baptism, don't make it hard, because it's not hard. It's as simple as them believing. That is the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. It's not hard. You don't have to do anything except believe and receive. And the Holy Ghost steps in. And then the wisdom of God goes a step further. He says, you don't know how to pray as you ought. But the Holy Ghost, he is going to be there. And all you have to do is kodo bosi. But I don't understand what I'm saying. You don't have to understand. That's the wisdom of God. You don't have to understand. And he is praying exactly the prayer that you need to hear or that you need to pray. And that God will answer it. It's like Pastor Dave, you remember how he always said it? It's the God sandwich. Here's the Holy Ghost. Here's you in the middle praying the prayer. Why does it have to be you in the middle? Because you have the authority in the earth. It has to come out your mouth. You have to speak it. That's what gives it God the ability to answer it, because you spoke this in the earth. So here's the God sandwich. Here's God. Here's you in the middle. Or the Holy Ghost, you. God the Father hears it and answers it. It's perfect. It is perfect. And all the time, he's dealing with the issues inside of you that are going to hold you back from fulfilling the plan of God. It's perfect. So here I was growing up. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I was in a church that actually talked in a general sense about the Holy Ghost. Isn't that sad? They didn't know to teach us what I'm teaching you right now. They didn't know it. That's the way a lot of people are. That's the way most people are. I want you to appreciate what you know. And I want you to be able to share what you know with somebody else. I had somebody today cutting my hair, asking me questions. Why? It's because they didn't know. Well, you asked the right person here, I can tell you. And that's what he wants you to be. Amen. So let's get into it just a little bit. I think by the time you're done, by the time I'm done, you're going to have an understanding like you haven't had before, I hope. This is part of the Born Again Trail. You remember on the Born Again Trail, Pastor Dave made this comment that God would told him that the key would be in those verses that everybody else seemed to pass over. Well, we're going to look at a verse here in just a little bit. And it's one of those verses. Whenever you read it, I can almost guarantee you, you've looked at that and just passed over it. The reason is because it's full of hard words. It's full of concepts that when you look at it, it's like, I've heard other people talk about it. I don't really understand it. So I'm just going to pass that verse by. Well, that's how I used to be. I looked at it. I thought, those are kind of complicated. I'm just going to accept it as truth and keep going. Finally, in the meditation and assimilation process, the Holy Ghost was able to get a hold of me and said, okay, here's what we're talking about. And all of a sudden, it just opened up, just like a flower. And I looked at it and I said, okay, now I see. The verse is going to be in 1 Corinthians, but I want to show you a few things. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 to begin with. I want your mind to start heading down a particular direction. In Colossians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Now, is this person born again? Yeah, it says they're dead in Christ. Why are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. In humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Especially here in verse 23. Look at what it says. A show of wisdom in will worship. That's what I want to start out talking about. That's not wisdom from God. That wisdom is from man. And he says that there is some wisdom here. Man, the mankind of wisdom that says, push away from those things. And how are you doing it? You're doing it with the strength of your own will, your own willpower. And that's the way most people live the Christian life. Do you realize that? That's the way most people live their Christian life. I know that's wrong, so I'm just going to, with my own willpower, I'm not going to do it. Because I know that that's not what God wants me to do. And that's, you know, if you're an axe murderer, please use will worship and stop killing people. That's good, okay? But see, that's in the wisdom of man. There's a wisdom of God that says, instead of you stopping in your own power, why don't you allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work, to reach down inside of you and to change that desire within you so that you're not having to just try not to sin, but now the desire to do it, it's gone. Isn't that better? Isn't it better? I believe it is. I would rather not fight a desire to sin all my life. I would rather get rid of it. By doing what? He gave us the mechanism. All we have to do is implement it. All we have to do is spend that time. And I know you're doing it. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. But what I want you to be able to do is take this message and be able to share it. Because I can guarantee you in your life, you know at least one person, probably much more than just one, who's struggling with the wisdom of this world, trying to live a life that they think God wants them to live. Struggling. That's a frustrating way to live. It is so frustrating. It's so fruitless. You know, you're just trying to make it another week till you can get back to church so you can repent again and rededicate your life. That's a sad way to live. I want you to turn over to Peter. I believe it's 1 Peter. Let me check here. Let's see. Is it 1 Peter? Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 13. See, it was this kind of a scripture right here that whenever that guy, the pastor, would read it on Sunday morning, and I was growing up, and it talked about holiness, I knew I didn't fit the bill. I knew there was stuff in my life that was not holy. Now look at this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober in hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In other words, don't live the way you used to live when you weren't born again. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy. And look at this terminology. In all manner of conversation. And I know that's a little bit blind. What is that talking about? It's talking about your behaviors. The way you live your life. Let me read it again. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Now look up at me for a second. Remember what I said. When you're born again, you're born again righteous, holy, sanctified. That word sanctified, if you look in the scriptures and you see the word holiness many times, it's exactly the same word. When you're talking about being sanctified, you know, the people, and you know who I'm talking about, people that say, okay, we want to teach about sanctification. Have your hair this long. Don't have on any jewelry. Don't do this. Don't do that. And then you'll be sanctified. So in other words, clean up the outside to fit the mold that we say is sanctification. Clean yourself up, fit into that mold, and then you're sanctified. Wrong. When you said, Jesus, now follow me, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. You, at that moment, you are, in your spirit, sanctified, holy. You're not going to get any more holy than you are at that moment in your spirit. Now what he's saying here, now look at this. What is he saying? In your manner of conversation. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. What he's saying is, let your outside man match the person who you are on the inside. Those need to match. Your conversation, your manner of life, there needs to be what we've been talking about, that transformation. And that transformation happens from the inside of you to the outside. This is what I never knew. I didn't know that there was a way that I could transform through the renewing of my mind that would attack those parts of me that wanted to go the wrong direction, because that is not in your spirit. That's in the unrenewed parts of your mind. That's in the untransformed, if you'll allow me to say that, parts of your soul. That's where all of that stuff lives. Not in your spirit. Your spirit has been created in the image of Christ. You are created in righteousness and true holiness. That's who you really are. So now this is just the process of becoming, taking from, bringing from the outside or from the inside out who you really are. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I really like the terminology that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, I told you that the scripture we're going to look at is in 1 Corinthians, but we have to take a little sidetrack to get over there first. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 17. I've read this a few times here lately. Kind of like this verse. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Notice how he picks that out. How he picks out the vanity of their mind. Don't walk the way they walk. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, especially look here at verses 22, 23, and 24. That you put off concerning, now look at this terminology, concerning the former conversation. The old man. And we saw that terminology back when Peter. The conversation, the behavior, the manner of your life. Put that off. Put that off. Now, do I do it the way I thought as a child that you were supposed to do it? Just by pushing away with my flesh? Just will worship. I won't do that. Is that what he's saying? No, he's not saying that at all. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you were pre-Jesus, not born again, pre-Jesus, you were corrupt in your spirit. Your spirit and your mind were directly connected, and your mind was being programmed by that fallen nature to the degree that you allowed it without putting up those walls of resistance saying, no, I'm not going to be that person. To the degree you did that, you shut off that pathway from that fallen nature to your mind. Now, you're born again. Look at what happened. Your spirit man has been recreated in the image of Christ. So where it says be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the way you think must be renewed in direct connection to that new nature. Not like that fallen nature, but the new nature. The spirit of your mind, the renewing of it is to renew it according to that new nature. And really, that's the way God thinks. So you're renewing your mind to the way God thinks. And finally, verse 24, and that you put on the new man. And I like this terminology. Let me read this to you. In the sense of sinking into a garment. To invest with clothing. That's what that word means. To put on the new man. It's like you're sinking into a garment. You know, you ever on a cold winter's night, you've got one of those nicely worn jackets. And you sink into that and it just kind of warms you. It's hard to think about that in summertime, but I know. But that's what we're talking about. Gradually, you're sinking into this new person. Gradually, as you pray in tongues, kodo bosido bo kodo bosi, you're putting on from the inside out. And it's your responsibility to do it. It won't just simply happen. But you put on from the inside out this new man created, look at this, in righteousness and true holiness. Not holiness like I'm sanctified because I have my hair this long. I'm sanctified because I don't wear makeup. I'm sanctified because I don't have earrings. No, that's not true holiness. True holiness is what comes from the inside of you out. It's who you become. As you put on Christ, as you pray and you change and the transformation, that and that transformation process It's who you become on the outside that matches the inside. Isn't that good? That's what it's about. Hey, I'll tell you something. I know it seems like something that you've heard a lot. There's a whole world of people that have no idea that this even exists. They have no idea that they can do this. Do you mean I don't have to come every week and rededicate my life? No, you can change. How do I do it? Hey, they're hungry, waiting for someone like you to bring them this message of how they can change. And you can do it. It's very simple. All right, now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 1. In chapter 1 is the verse. Had I known this verse, had I known what it meant, had I known it, and it had been a revelation to me, it would have stopped rededicating. It would have stopped that feeling of having to rededicate and rededicate, and that I wasn't good enough, and that I needed to do something to change, because I knew on the outside I was a terrible person. I knew it. I just didn't know how to change it. Because I wanted to be that way. 1 Corinthians. We're going to start reading in verse 11 of chapter 1. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. That means that there's fightings, there's disputings. This I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I'm going to stop there. He hears about something that's happening in the church. He's left the church there to continue to develop, and this is the news he's gotten back. Is it a glowing testimony of how these people are growing? Here's the testimony. There's disputings there. Some people, they want to align themselves with Paul. Others are trying to align themselves with Apollos. What does that point to? What are they doing? What they're trying to say is, I identify with this guy. He's the guy that has the answers. I follow him. Okay? Well, what are you doing with what Paul taught you? Nothing. I'm just following this guy. You see what that says? I'm just identifying. I'm not really doing what he said. I'm just aligning myself with him. He's got all the answers. And here I'm okay. I'm just following him. That's the problem. He's not telling us to align ourselves with people. What he's about to tell us right here, he's about to show us who we have become when we're born again. And not only that, but what we are to do in order to bring the inside man out. So let's go down here. What I want to start pointing out to you, and it's something that jumped out at me today really strong. In chapter 1 and in chapter 2, in chapter 1, the word wisdom is used 7 times. The word wisdom. In chapter 2, the word wisdom is used 6 times. And in chapter 3, it's used 1 time. The word wisdom. And it's talking about 2 different kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. If you look through the New Testament at the number of times the word wisdom is used, you'll not find it used as consistently as it's used in these 3 chapters. Wouldn't you say he's trying to get a point across? What he's wanting to do is he's trying to point out the fallacy of man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. He wants you to see that if you follow man's wisdom, this is what it involves. But if you want to follow God's wisdom looks like this. And it's completely different than man's wisdom. What is man's wisdom anyway, Mark? Man's wisdom is, look, if you want to approach God, you better clean yourself up, you filthy thing. If you really want to get close to God, you better clean yourself up. God's wisdom is this. We don't clean the fish before we catch them. Just catch the fish. Give them Jesus. Get them born again. God's wisdom is the change will happen from the inside out as they implement praying in tongues, as they implement what it takes to change and develop in the things of God. The change will happen from the inside out. Man's wisdom, we're going to figure out God in our mind. We'll be intellectuals. See, the Greeks thought they knew that. The Greeks thought we're going to figure out God in our mind. Think big thoughts. Intellectualize. That'll bring us closer to God. The Jews thought we're going to follow this law. We're going to exercise will worship. When we make a mistake, we'll offer the sacrifices and that will make us righteous. We're righteous because we do all the things that we're told to do. So the Greeks gravitate towards the intellect. The Jews, they gravitate towards upholding the law. Where in there is the wisdom of God? Nowhere. How many churches today, how many Christians today are following man's wisdom? Clean yourself up on the outside. Live a holy, sanctified life. Stop that drinking. Stop that carousing. Do this. Do that. And then you'll be sanctified. It happens everywhere. That's not it. That's not it at all. That will lead you into frustration. That'll lead you into a path of trying to figure out from one week to the next how I'm going to make it to the next week without pulling my hair out. All right, let's go back here now. See, in verse 17, this is the first mention of wisdom. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. In other words, he's saying, he didn't send me here to intellectualize with you about the greatness of God. That's not what he sent me here for. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now look at verse 21 very carefully. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want you to think about the foolishness of preaching. How foolish it is. You're going to stand up and preach to somebody about a God they can't see, about using a force called faith which they can't hold in their hands, and that it's going to cause them to be born again, and they can't see a change happening because it happens within them. How foolish does that sound to the natural? You ever tried to lead somebody to Jesus and you feel foolish doing it? It is the wisdom of God. It's not something that makes sense, that everybody just gravitates towards it. Oh yeah, everybody gets born again. No. Not like that. This is not the most common popular thing a person can do. This is foolishness to the natural mind. Going to any college. When I went to college, I had a philosophy teacher. Philosophy. Yeah, it's crazy. Philosophy. If you go to college and you go into a philosophy class, you're going to get your eyes opened. Those people don't believe in God. And they can sit there and quote the Bible to you. They can quote it. And they can tell you why it's wrong in their opinion. Well, why is that? How can that happen, Mark? How can they quote the Bible? Hey, they're spiritually dead. They're just using their intellect to razzle-dazzle you. To try and if you talk to Brother Gary, you're going to find out that he had one of those people in college and screwed him up real good. You got to watch sending your kids to college. And just kicking them out the door. Say, like, go Johnny, go Susie, go to college. Everything will be okay there. They aren't going to hurt you. Yeah, they'll indoctrinate you with some ungodly mess. Be careful. The wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world will try to tell you. Just be a good person. Just be a nice little guy. Everything will be okay. All right, let's go on here. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, here's what the Jews, they require a sign. And the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. This isn't God's wisdom. This is man's wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things, now look at this, which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. What's that talking about? Things that are not of this world that you see. Faith. You can't see faith. He's chosen faith to bring to nothing what you can see in this natural world. You can change the physical substances of this world with your faith, and you'll never see your faith, but you'll see the results of it. Think about that. What are you talking about, Mark? If you're sick in your body, use your faith. And watch your body change to match what the Word says about your body. Take the things that you can't see, the things that are not of this world, and change the things that you see in this world. Is that foolishness? Well, if you ask somebody to accept something they can't see, they look at you and they'll say, "That's foolish. I can't do it. I can't see it. I don't trust in something I can't see." Have you ever heard that? And here's the reason why. Verse 29. That no flesh, say no flesh, should glory in His presence. This is the reason why God did it the way He did it. Here's the reason. There's absolutely no way for you to glory in this change. There's no way for you to glory in it. You sit here and pray in tongues. He changes you from the inside, from the person that He made you when you were born again. He takes that and it affects the outside man and you change. You can't glory. You can't say, I made myself a better person. I made myself this way. No, you can't glory in that. See, the Holy Ghost was the one, as you began to utter those words, it was the Holy Ghost that created the prayer inside of you. How are you going to glory in that? No, I stopped doing all that sinning. I'm going to take glory in that. No, you can't. Because He reached down inside of you as you prayed, and He removed that desire from you. It was destroyed. Did I do that? I prayed, but it was the prayer that He created inside of me. You see how wonderful God made this? You can't take any credit for this. All you did was sit there and kodo bo sandarabasi, shodo bo kodo bo si, and He's doing everything. And why did He do it this way? Because if Mark could have changed himself, guess what? Mark would have taken the glory for it. Hey, look at me. Hey, if you want to be like me, look how perfect I am. And all you got to do is just do what I did. And this is my following right here. See, that was what was happening in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You say you're of Paul. You say you're of Apollos. How can you align yourself? How can you say that these people are the ones that's doing it for you? It's not them, it's the Holy Ghost working through your new nature. That's why you're changing. It has nothing to do with Paul. It's nothing to do with Apollos. You get that? Let's go on here. This is the verse. We're heading right up here on it. Verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Of Him. Look at the terminology. But of Him. Of Him. What does that mean? It's the same as saying that I am of Robert Jenkins, my dad. Through him and my mom giving birth to me, I'm of them. Same thing. In the natural, I'm saying that. And let's apply that to the spirit. Of Him. Are you in Christ Jesus? Of Him. I have been born of Him. I am in Him. I identify myself in Christ Jesus because I am born again. I am in Him. Are you in Christ Jesus? Who of God is made unto us? Now look at this. This is the scripture right here I told you about. I would pass by this scripture. I would look at it. I would acknowledge. I understand these words. I know what wisdom is. I know what righteousness is. I know what sanctification is. I know what redemption is. But I don't understand this verse. What does this verse have to do with anything? But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Folks, in that verse is everything that you became when you were born again. In that single verse, it's everything. He put it just before chapter 2 because in chapter 2, He teaches you how to bring all of that from the inside to the outside. Because He teaches you about praying in tongues. He teaches you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But first of all, He has to tell you, this is who you really are when you're born again. And it's the wisdom of God that you became this way, that you were born this way. It's His wisdom that you don't have to make yourself any particular way. You just accept what He made you. You receive your salvation. You are born again. And this is who you are now. You have His wisdom in your new nature, in your reborn human spirit. You are righteous. You are righteous. You are sanctified. You are declared holy. In your reborn human spirit, you, my friend, are holy. And you are redeemed. The price of sin has been paid forever. The ransom price has been paid for you. He ransomed you with His blood. He paid the price. Here is where it gets very, you have to be very careful. Because when people hear, I'm redeemed, do you mean the price of sin is paid? Well, that means that I can just go out and do whatever I want to. Sin's paid for. No, my dear heart, it's not that way. And I want especially to warn you. Right now, this is one of the big attacks that's hitting this body. People are hearing from some source, probably different sources, this ultimate grace, and they're following that. They're thinking, hey, I like the sound of it. I'm going to go that direction. Please, please be careful, because that's not the truth. He did not create you in righteousness and true holiness when you were born again, so that now you can go live however you want to in your flesh. Does that make any sense to your mind? I mean, there has to be enough renewing inside of you to know, hey, there's some red lights going off. That can't be right, because it's not right. You can't just go live how you want to. Who should want to anyway? I'm trying to go the right way with every breath that I make. I want to go the right direction. I'm not looking for reasons to sin. I'm not looking for reasons to justify sin. I want to walk so free of it, there's no issues with it. See the difference? What I think is this. It's those people who are in that early developmental stage of growing up spiritually, that they hear this message of ultimate grace, they're susceptible to it, and they get drawn that direction because they think that it's easier and that it's right, and it's not. How do you know it's not right? Well, all you got to do is turn over here with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, Paul, apparently, he knew that in 2012 that there was going to be people that are going to struggle with this very point. So he wrote Romans chapter 6 because he knew that someday they're going to need to know that they can't live that way. And here's what he wrote. Let's look at, let's start at verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. What then shall we sin? This is the question. You're not under the law, you're under grace. You're not under the law. You're free from it. You're not under it. You're redeemed. You're righteous. You're redeemed. You're sanctified. You're holy in your spirit. What then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. I think that, you know, if there's any other stronger words he could have used, I think he would have. God forbid. He probably said it kind of strong. God forbid, if he could have wrote it strong, probably wrote it in bold, underlined it. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded, and that word yielded just simply means presented. You presented your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity. Even so now, present or yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. The members, the outside, the outward man, the part that I can see of you, in addition to the soul part of you, the mind that's not been renewed yet, the soul that's yet to be transformed, that part of you, that is what we would say is the member here. He's saying, don't present that part of you over to iniquity and to, don't go out and sin. Don't go out and let that flesh do whatever it wants to do. But cause a change to happen from the inside so that the desire to do it, that desire is uprooted and destroyed. Don't just use will worship. Yes, for a while, please. Let's not see your ugliness. If you can stop it a little bit through your will worship, please do. But realize that that's your will worship. That's you and your own will stopping it. And that's not the wisdom of God in its fullness. The wisdom of God says you pray in tongues. You change from the inside out. And that will uproot and destroy that desire. You can change that desire. You can get rid of it. You can change the way your mind thinks. I used an example a few weeks ago. I'll use it again. We had two people. We stood them up here side by side. Two people. And for example's sake, we're going to say that they were raised in the same neighborhood. These two old boys partied together. You've probably seen them. They're good buddies. They party together. They drinkers. They like the women. They liked all that kind of stuff. Well, a year ago, the guy on the right gets saved. But the guy on the left, he's still out partying. Till about 2 weeks ago. And he comes back to the Lord for the first time. So now they're both saved. So we're going to sit both these old boys down at a table, and we're going to put a nice frosty mug of beer right, bang, right there on that table. And we're going to watch, and we're going to see how these two boys, how they respond. Now the old boy on the right, now he got a hold of a Dave Roberson tape, and he learned about praying in tongues right after he got saved. Kodo Bo Sunda. He was changing, and he's been changing for the whole year. So he sits down and he looks at that frosty mug of beer and he could care less. He's not thinking about it. He's not looking at that thing. Oh man, the temptation's so strong on my eyes. It's not there. It's gone. That desire has turned. It's died. It's uprooted. It's not there anymore. Now the poor old boy on the left, that old boy, he got saved 2 weeks ago. He's looking at that frosty mug and guess what's happening? He's salivating. He's watching a movie in his mind where he's drinking that beer because his mind's not been renewed yet. It still thinks like the old carnal man. And he's actually, I mean, he's salivating over it. He's thinking about how good that beer is going to be as it goes down. And he's doing everything he can not to reach out and grab it and suck that beer down. I'll tell you what. These people that are, it's the most amazing thing. They're strung out on drugs. They pull them in off the street and they send them to some kind of a counseling program somewhere. Usually it's in the place where we used to live down in West Palm Beach, Florida. But they take them in there. They're not dealing with the spiritual part of them. They're just dealing with the physical part, how to try to stay away and will worship, push away from that alcohol, push away from it. And there are some results, and I thank God that some people can get set free to a certain degree. Thank God for it. But what I want to see is the kind of change that reaches down inside of a person. And it uproots that desire. That it changes that word. They go from where they can't hardly keep from reaching out and grabbing that beer, or reaching out and grabbing those drugs, or reaching out for that pornography, or whatever it is that's got them. Something has them in its grips. And there's a stronghold inside of them that enemy at any time just comes and just grabs hold of and twists it. And the next thing they know, it's like an all-consuming. Their mind, they can't even think about anything else but the next fix. Can't think about anything else but the next drink. I say, you have the understanding of the wisdom of God. You know how that person can be free once and for all. You have it. You have it. Get that person born again. I know you may feel like a fool preaching to them, because it says right here, it's foolishness to their minds. But I'm telling you something. 6 months from now, when they're free from that drug or that alcohol or whatever it is, they're going to be the one that's going to be thanking you the loudest. Because you made a step that looked foolish to the natural mind. And you told them about a change where they could be right with God, and all they would have to do is release a force called faith, receive what Jesus has provided for them, become born again, righteous before God, in right standing with Him, sanctified. You can be sanctified? Yes, you can. I can be sanctified? You sure can. I can be holy before God. Holy. I can be holy. Holy before God. Did you see what I did last week? Did you see what I did yesterday? Did you see what I did this morning? And you're telling me all I have to do is raise my hands and receive Jesus and I will be made holy? Yes. Is that getting through to you? You mean I don't have to clean myself up? No, that's man's wisdom. That's man's wisdom. You mean all I got to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, save me. Yes. And instantly in your spirit. Now, I'm not talking about in your soul and in your body, but in your spirit. The real you, instantly, you are created righteous, holy. You are redeemed. Instantly. I want to ask you, do you think that sounds foolish? No. Maybe to the natural mind it does. You see, the natural mind, really, they have no answers. The natural mind thinks it has answers. Like I said, you go to the philosophers, sit in their class, and they'll tell you, they'll tell you how God doesn't exist. They'll get out the Bible and read it to you and tell you how God can't exist. And they'll ask you hard questions like this. Well, if there's a God, how come there's evil? How come He lets evil? And you sit there and you're like, huh? What? Huh? Because they're trying to understand a spiritual being with a natural mind, and you cannot understand a spiritual being with a natural carnal mind. So that scripture right there, I want you to circle it. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to look at that. I want you to meditate. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to meditate on that verse. Chapter 1. Verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This is who you're made. This is who you are when you're in Christ. When you've received Jesus as the Lord of your life. This is you. You are spirit. And as I've taught in all of the last previous three or four messages, all you need to do now is renew your mind to who you really are. Just renew it. Renew it to who you are now. Who you are. You're a giant killer. You're a giant killer. That's who you are. You're Satan's worst nightmare. I don't feel that way. It's because you don't know who you are yet. You're his worst nightmare. All he wants to do is keep you pacified, thinking that this really can't be true. It is true. This is who you are. It's true. You can have everything this word says you can have. You are. You can be the person that He has made you to be. There's nothing that's impossible to you if only you would believe. And that's the good news of the gospel. Did you get anything out of that tonight? I hope you did. I'll tell you what, it's taken me a long time to get an understanding of just that one verse. But that in that one verse is the gospel. It's who you are. In that one verse is the gospel. And in understanding that wisdom, you have to go to chapter 2. And do what chapter 2 says. What is it? Pray in tongues. That's where the mind of Christ, His plan is unveiled to you as you pray in tongues. It changes the way you think. You begin to think the way He thinks. Do you know? He knows that there's nothing impossible. He knows that. And He wants you to know that. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not just think it, not just hope it, but He wants it to be bone of your bone, that there is nothing impossible to you. Nothing. Nothing. I better stop there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.